Lucas prepared the basics of Divis, so great that we have that as background. And Jan prepared half of my talk yesterday. So we'll see that. I have the subtitle there, hints why the dew point temperature and batch sizes can be important in gen day metrics. So we'll see something about that as well. Very first and short introduction to the topic. As you know, when I'm on a stage, it's all about BSDFs. Very short, I think everybody of you is aware of what a BSDF is, why we need it, why we want to have it in daylight simulation, and why finally also Divis wants to have it in daylight simulation. Whenever you have a daylighting system, you want to have it characterized in your simulation algorithm, and if you can't do it by the geometry, you do it by the BSDF that gives you the more or less the analogon to the analogon to the luminous intensity of a luminaire that you can get for any sky distribution that you have outdoors. BSDF includes reflection and transmission, so we have both sides in there. A very short history, BSDFs have been out there quite long. There's a lot of things going on. A lot of these things, when it comes to BSDFs for daylighting system, emerged from this community, from this radiance community here. There's a lot of the things that Greg did, that Andy did, that were done in IEA projects where I was involved. And we now finally even are about to propose bringing it onto ISO level to finally get out some standardization, how to come up with BSDFs and how they should look like if you want to include them in simulation systems. That's Lucas' part again. I don't know if you want to say a word. I think it's
more or less. Yeah. So we're just basically using radiance as BSDF simulation, BSDF sample, and
that's the nice thing about how the BSDF library is set up in Radiance, that it's really easy to port over to other software, and that's what the intention was. How did we look into these BSDFs and simulations? We set up two test scenes, one with a facade where we included BSDFs there, and the second one is a sun tunnel scene. We want to have that as well. We did not finish that yet. I need to take the end and spoiler it now. We don't finish it now, so there are no BSDFs in the sun tunnel scene yet. But we have the BSDFs validated and simulated in the facade. Some very first results for the facade scene. What's there for the clear glass? It's the one that we can compare quite well between just the static simulation and the BSDF included. So we compared it internally in Radiance, checked BSDF versus glass, and looked in Divis BSDF versus glass. And then that's a good thing that we have a ground truth simulation, and we can then look into the BSDFs. And you see that the relative differences that output is for the average illuminance and the floor grid over the whole year. And we see that the differences, we see some structure in there, that it depends on the position of the sun on the time of the year. But overall, we are really close and below 4, 5, 6% most of the times for the time being here. For redirecting blinds, differences are very similar. They are the other direction, but still the median value here also below 5% deviation. Again, also not error. It's like we don't know what is right. With daylighting, we're always happy if we are somewhere close to 10% of reality. So anything that's in there should be good. That's what Lucas proposed first, and then we said, okay, is there something that is still open? And what Carsten also asked, it is different methods behind. What should we further look into? Where can we find these differences and other things that we should look into? That what Lucas presented, and The first thing is, or there's two things in there. The one thing is, if this directional light modeled with 0.5 to 11 degree opening angle, if we do a three-phase calculation in radians, we sample the sky and we subdivide the sky into Reinhardt patches. In this case, as it is used as Tregenza, so it's Reinhardt subdivision 1 in DVIS for the sky. We set that as a basis in radians as well. But the sun is used with a small opening angle in DVIS, and so we said we need to come up with that. And so I did a first step and looked into how does it look like if we subdivide the sky in different arrays and in different things. So that is just a teaser for looking into that. But in the end, it's about the Tregenza sky patches that we have, and we all know it's the 145 patches that we have. Approximately like 11, 12 degree opening angle coming from these sky scanner setups that we have. And there are different options they can use to implement it in software. You can either implement it really as covering the full hemisphere, like really filling out the full hemisphere. If you're following that, what was done back then when measuring the sky, it's really like conical apertures. And there, I think the original work back then was 11 degree opening, so that's why we used that one. But you can also use the sun, and hope you can see that there's a small tiny dots in the center here. So the question was, what's the influence of that on the simulations in the end? And to do that, we can have the Tregenza, the Reinhardt 1 subdivision in radians, didn't have the opportunity or the it isn't prepared for the other two ones, so we changed that. It's easy to do to set up the scene to come up with the coefficients. You just have to create those light sources accordingly. But getting then also the luminance distribution right, we have to go back to Gendet matrix. And good, I think it was on Andy's request back then to add the five-phase method. So there is the option in there to put all the luminous flux into that like 0.5 degree sun angle that you can specify. They basically just copied that. So that's my programming skills, taking things that are there, copying it to smarter position and add some small things to it. Did that to have either to have both. You can add it to a single sky patch, but you also can add all the high luminance, let's say, to one small patch that can be this 11 degrees or the 0.5 degrees. And then you need to set it up that you do the simulation for the coefficients, as that is not done like in this as it's set up for our flux matrix, where it does that internally for you. So looking into the scene, how does it look like? Looking from a point in that scene to the sky, one can see that there can be differences expected, and this is also what John showed before, that depending on where we are, looking through the window to the sky, we just do see different things. And if we look at that, what we see from that point there, or the red dots, really you don't see that very well on the screen here, but lay them over, you see that there might be quite some differences what we get. And if you imagine you put all the energy from the sun at that point in time into one of these patches, either one of these tiny red dots or into the yellow patch or to the full Clemens Tregenza patch, there might be some differences. So this is from different viewpoints how it looks like here. Going back to that, and now on the very top right, we see what we using the different settings. We have this the radiant standard setup with the Reinhardt patches, where we have the sky and the sun integrated in that. And in DVIS, we have the 11 degree patches. If we have the same for DVIS and radiance, you see the bottom right, the difference is not that big. So switching between those full Tregenza setup and the 11 degree, it does a little bit of a difference, but not that big deal. And if you go on to the 0.5 degree patches, It gets even better, but there is more variation going on, obviously, and the minimum maximum values here. I did not cut the 5% at the very end, so they would disappear here, but it's like relative differences of something close to zero. That's usually quite some big deal, but the median values agree quite well again. One thing, the sky patches. The other thing, the methodology that Lucas presented for the luminance, for the sun luminance, he's implemented the Paris model himself with this 3-hour simple moving average dew point temperature. And it was like similar to Jan yesterday. Oh gosh, I forgot about that. So I thought, never thought about that. Do we need that? And it is in that paper, but it's not implemented anywhere, so it shouldn't matter that much. So took the same approach, looking into what does that mean. And finally, I think it's very nice. We got some very nice agreement. We only have one place selected at the same place, but I think let's just look into that. So let's look at the sky a little bit. The Paris sky references, you know all that. There's this luminous efficiency model, efficacy model out there, and the other model that is then doing the luminance distribution in the sky. We know these screenshots from the paper from yesterday. Jan also had that in his presentation. And looking into this formula, how this water fraction that is in the air is calculated, and I plotted that again, the 2-point temperature. And from, as it's an exponential curve, from that figure, I expected there might not be, so it was 11 degrees, what is the fixed number, sorry, 11 degrees fixed, there should not be a large difference if it's colder, but it might be worth looking into climates that are way hotter than that. So we did that, and to be able to do that, Jan edited the Chandela 2 years ago. I found that during that kind of work, there was this option in there. It was not included in Chandemetrics. So what I did is went in there and edited to the Chandemetrics, an option that you can, on the one side, either have a specified dew-point temperature, a fixed one again, but then you can just select the temperature you want to have to show the effect. So for the Copenhagen climate, for example, if you move from this 11 degree default value to minus 10 degree, you see there is some relative difference. Plotted here is the average sky for the entire year. And if you move 20 degrees to the other direction, you see that there's even a larger difference. But it's all happening in the areas that are quite low. So the relative difference is high where the absolute values are quite low. And the effect is exactly what Jan showed, that it's the difference, like the right plot is the difference, the positive, so it's overestimating and it was underestimating the sun and the sky. It's really diffuse in the direct part, or less separated in the directions. Looking into the climate of Copenhagen, 11 degrees are here, so we should expect not that big of a difference in the end. Nevertheless, I wanted to know that, so added that to Chandemetrics to be able to read from a WEA file not only the input but also the dew point temperature. So also had it to go back to the EPW to WEA file to add that to the dew point temperature also reported there, and looked into different climates. So what are the outcomes for these climates? And there are climates out there where we are really off with this 11 degrees. So I picked some extreme ones. I don't know who of you has, I've never heard about that place Resolute in Canada. It's like minus 40 degrees. Minus 40 is actually something we should take care of, because if you have the dew point below minus 40, it is reset back to 11 in Chandelet. I guess you never expected something below minus 40.
Nobody lived there.
Okay, thanks to the Canadians knowing that. But also, selected Singapore, but also Accra in Ghana, for example, and you see that we are quite up there and we expect some differences there, as we saw from the exponential function. Looking into these relative differences, plus and minus, again, of these different locations. Copenhagen the first, if we take the 11 as default, and we take the 3-hour simple moving average from the EPW file, we can just neglect that. I totally agree with Jan, as you said yesterday, we can totally neglect that for simulations. Looking into that extreme cold Canada place where nobody lives, so somebody had to set up that weather station though, right? So there should be some meteorological station where you need to do daylighting design for the building.
Yeah, monitoring for when they can move there. There's actually also one in the Antarctica, but I didn't take that. Also the one Mr. Minus 40.
But that's the more interesting cases, and that's also what Jan reported. Like for Singapore, we know that it's close to the equator there, so especially if we have side-lit, window-lit rooms there, we have mostly lighting from the sky in there, and we do have quite some relative differences in here, so it's worth looking into that. And it gets even worse for Accra, for that place in Ghana, capital city there, and I think that place is where we should look into. So for me, that was reason to take the next step as well. What is the effect on the annual simulation if we look into the room? Just took a single, very simple room, one window facing south, and looked into the results here. So going back to these four locations again, Copenhagen, we see the annual differences. They are pretty low. So it's really more or less you can neglect that. Similar for that cold place in Canada, nothing going on there. But for Singapore, we do have variations that can be quite high. But the median value isn't that far away, so it is not a big deal, as Jan said, but it is also not a big issue to edit, so there's not much effort to do that, so might be worth thinking about that. And for that other place in Africa, as well, looks similar to Singapore. Going back to the validation work and the sun tunnel results, here we are not finished fully yet, as I said before. It's a simple shoebox model, but without a facade, but a sun tunnel on top of it. And we see we get very nice agreements here as well. So the simulation agreement between DVIS and Radiance is very good. Also thinking about that, you see up there I reported it's the patches that I use, Reinhardt for Radiance, and in DVIS the 11 degree patches. If we use 11 degree for both, again, very good agreement. And also for the 0.5 degree patches, the agreement is a little worse, still not that bad. So we said we're still okay with the agreement, but going back one slide, there is quite some difference in the results overall, what we use, if we use the 11 degree or the 0.5 degree patches. And this is just due to what happens to the light pipe simulation in there. Going back, and how can we explain that there's such a difference? The question is, what does Mr. Clem see when he looks to the sky? And this is... The color patches, you see, that's the Clem's patches, not the Reinhardt patches. So this is what we have in the end. If we do a three-phase simulation, we have that discretization, which we later will plug in our PSDF into that. And you see the dots there, that's the sun positions that we are having. And what is happening here, that for that situation in Copenhagen, we have a sun position in summer that is depicted here, and if we put everything into one patch, it will end up can end up either in this yellow patch up here, and this yellow patch just corresponds to the Clem's patch that is split it into two cleanse batches next to each other. And if we just use one single of these tiny light sources, these patches, it's accounted for here, and we have all the light flux in there. And using a light pipe, this like 5 or 10 or 15 degree difference for these angles, that matters quite a bit, if we split that up or not. So that is the difference that we see in the results here. Again, we do see differences, but we also see these differences within radians. So always knowing what one does, even if this very, very hard to simulate situations like light pipes, is worth investigating. So very short outlook and final steps we need to take with this validation. We have some few cases where we have an underestimation of transmission through BSDFs in DVIS. This is something we're working on the last 2 weeks and are still working on. And as soon as we have that, we'll test the sun tunnel with BSDFs at the inlet and or the outlet, and finally document all that DVIS can get out in the next version with BSDF support in there. And the question on the radian side, following up on Jan's talk yesterday, is it something that we want to see and want to have in the radians distribution, that we have an option to include the two point temperature in Gendai matrix? We might think about that. So thank you very much, and happy to take questions.